Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
There is a voice in the universe calling out to you. It speaks to the tapestry from which you have been woven. It is the brand made in the fire. You are about to discover your true essence, the life you were born to live from the inside out. This life is not built from magic stones or wishing wells. It is the very core of who you really are. This is the purpose-driven life, celebrating divine consciousness. It is what gives you your fingerprints. Intentional faith, intentional work. This show will reawaken you to what you have been born to discover. Our truths are not based on our experiences. It is based on our coming of age and true awareness of that, of all that we have living on the inside of us. I'm Dr. Faye, and welcome to your faith-based out loud radio show, Intentional. It is always an honor to bring a faith-based message right here on the America Out Loud platform every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Those of you who are faithful listeners, I want to tell you, I am glad you're here. I appreciate each and every comment and your shares across social media. After all, this is radio, and we want it to get out there, our voice to be heard, not just another voice, but a voice of inspiration and of hope, of making a difference around the world, causing people to grow up into their own empowerment. I began a series, I suppose it's a series, because I am teaching from a book or a new book that I have released. It's Our Father's DNA. It's in its first print right now, and it will be going back into print. But I wanted to get the message out there because I think it's vital that we begin to tap into this finished works of Jesus and begin to understand who we really are as born-again children of God. What a privilege it is to be able to share this word with you today. So I want you to grab your chair, get your Bibles, and since this is faith-based out loud, get some water, your pen, your pad, whatever you need to do, and let's have conversations about Jesus. Amen. I want to pick up on this conversation on learning heaven's language. Heaven has a language. When we are born again, we come in and we continue to speak as we've always spoken. We still have our own culture, our own skin color, our own eye color, but there's something powerful that happens. It's not magic, it's Jesus. There's something happens. Powerful that happens on the inside of us. And the Bible says if any man or woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creature, a new creation, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new, meaning that we become a new species of being that never existed before. What a glorious, glorious message that is, that now we are the children of God. We now have access to everything that's in heaven. Imagine as a parent, you have a child, and then you tell the child, okay, you live in another house. Someone else has to feed you. Someone else will take care of you. Someone else will love on you. Someone else will nurture you. That's called abandonment. Yes, yes, and yes, and there's a law against that. That's called abandonment. You don't give birth to a child and then abandon that child. I'm not talking about adoption. I'm not talking about that. But abandon your child or give your child away and not acknowledge that you are a parent. God did not give us away. He owns us. Yes, he owns us, meaning that he identifies with us as we identify with him. Calling him Father means that we identify with him. We finally know where we come from. We talked about people doing a lot of research to discover their ancestry. Who did they come from? And sadly, many people regret it afterwards that they discovered that they came from people they don't want to be connected to. So sometimes it's better to let the dead stay dead and not go and start digging up old bones to identify with them, but allow Jesus Christ to come in and show us his nature, his character, so that we can begin to grow through that. So learning to speak heaven's language, just as we as children grew up in our parents' household and parental care and guidance, regardless of the level, don't get critical of your parents, but regardless of the level of guidance, they gave away what they possessed. They didn't know any better. We adopted their language. If you grew up around parents who were always swearing, and I don't mean I swear I want to do something, but cussing. Cussing, using vulgarity, using language that maybe most people do now, I don't know. But, you know, that's not acceptable in public circles, most public circles, I would say. And you grew up with that language around you, that became a part of your core. That became a part of who you are. They sowed those seeds into you, so you would kindergarten or first grade, and you're using that language. And then the parent shows up at the parents' teachers meeting or the or association or whatever it's called now and said, you know what? I don't know where Johnny got those words from. I don't know who he's been listening to. It must be from some other kid in the classroom. You know how parents disown their language? Your parents disown their language when it comes back to them, when it's mirrored back to them. They disown it. They said, I don't know where Johnny got that from. I don't know where Mary got that from. When they know that it is their language, there's no other place the child could have gotten it from. It's from home. The child got it from home. Everybody say that. My child got it from me. The language, the behaviors, they begin at home. Malcolm talks about this a lot in some of our Life Liberty shows, is that it starts with the parents, those games that children are listening to and playing with. Our culture always began at home. Love begins at home and then spreads abroad. The language of heaven begins at home. It begins an understanding who our Father is, connecting with our Father at with his character, with the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about, with the love nature of God, with that communion with him, having a relationship with the Father is everything. Having that divine guidance from God so that we get his language instead of this culture, this world language. Now, I don't mean God's language as in Elizabethan English, right? In Elizabethan English. You know, I know here's some people always correct me on the way I pronounce words, and I know they're correcting me, but you have to understand in different parts of the country, you know, you kind of, the phonetics kind of change a little bit. So I have a mixture of north, south, east, and a little bit of west tied in there with you guys, right? But you understand this language that we adopt in the kingdom of God, we adopt it because of our divine relationship, our connectedness with the Father, that we are no longer just out there and responding to situations or circumstances because of the way we feel or because of the way we have been bred by our families or taught by our families or educational institutions or even religious or political institutions, that we now adopt a different language. I have many friends and colleagues who maybe they're not biblical scholars,
but they do have kingdom language. They have a language that they agree with God. Sometimes they don't even know that they're agreeing with God. Sometimes we don't know that we're agreeing with God. But because we spend so much time working on the inside, whoever you may be, spending time working on the inside, some of you may call him the light who's coming forth. Some of you may call him the energy that comes forth. You may be using a different word, but ladies and gentlemen, you will end up with God. You will end up experiencing him, experiencing his fervor and his favor. So as we continue this conversation today about the language of heaven, Paul said, the Apostle Paul, not Paul, the friend of mine, but the Apostle Paul actually said that he was speaking, if he spoke with the tongues, he spoke with tongues more than they all. And that's interpreted to say he spoke with other languages. He spoke with a spiritual language. He understood that the Holy Spirit would come forth and speak with a language not known to human mind, but definitely known to God. And the interpretation will come forth from your heart. If you're speaking in a tongue and you don't understand in your heart what you're saying, you probably want to check what you're saying. You probably want to recheck the tongues that you're talking in. Some people make fun and criticize people who speak in tongues, speak in other languages, and say, oh, you know what? I don't know what they're saying. It sounds all gibberish. Well, the Holy Spirit is not here to give us gibberish. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would do these things, would take from the Father and show it unto us. Holy Spirit being the mother heart of God. We have the Father, we have the Son. If you have a father and a son, where is the mother? The mother is the Holy Spirit. The mother heart of God takes from the Father and reveals it unto us so that we can be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Who is the dominant leader and guide person who guides in the home? It is mama. It's not daddy. Daddy may help pay the bills, but it's not daddy. It's mama. It's mama who said, pick up your clothes. Don't do this. Don't say that. Don't go here. Be in by this time. That's mama who's giving instructions, who's giving direction. Holy Spirit, being the mother heart of God, is giving instruction, giving direction, giving us nurturing, counsel, comfort. Amen. Thank God for the precious Holy Spirit. I speak in English with conversations with people that I encounter because I don't know any other language. Oh, I know bits and pieces. I know words, but don't put me in a conversation thinking I can win speaking Italian or French. That's not going to happen unless God gives it to me. Now, God is able to give it to me. Yes, he is. He's able to give it to me. And I can tell you of this experience. Listen closely. I was in Ghana and I was on the platform teaching and I had an interpreter and he was supposed to, you know, interpret. He was supposed to translate and tell the people what I was saying. And I knew suddenly I could hear him saying something different because he thought, he didn't want to say that, but I wanted to say it. And so I tapped him on the shoulder. Actually, I kind of punched him on the shoulder and I said, you say what I said. I said, Dr. Faye, that was pretty bold. He could have punched you back. I don't think so. But he said what I said, he changed it. And afterwards, there were people who came to me and said, Madame, how did you know? How did you know? You do not speak Ghanaian. And how did you know that he was not saying what you said? It has to be the Holy Spirit. And I said, yes, it's the Holy Spirit, because there's no way I could know. How do you think we know things that ordinarily we would not know? That we have answers to problems that we would not know except God be with us. God is guiding us, letting us know what the answers are. We're not so smart as we think we are. God is guiding us. We ask the question, what's wrong with this political system? Why can't they get it right? That's because they don't know heaven's language. They don't have a relationship with God. They're not listening to the Father. If they would be born again Christians, truly born again, have a divine relationship with God and hear from God, then they all would meet in Congress and open up with true prayer, not some written quirky prayer Heavenly Father, thou art great. Nah, that's boring. I mean, talk to God. Have a real conversation with the Father. And if they would do that, if any two of you agree upon earth as touching anything that they shall ask, that it will be done. Can you imagine this? Take just a pause with me in your soul. Can you imagine Congress meeting and everybody saying stop? They agreed to stop their bickering and fighting and lay down their blue and their red and decide to be red, white, and blue under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit and would say, Holy Spirit, come now, take control. I wrote an article on for the platform. And in this article, I talked about George Washington and some predecessors, some previous presidents, not his predecessors, but some previous presidents or the fathers of this country, and how he would set aside 9 o'clock p.m. every night to go pray. Yes, yes, and yes, the man was a prayer warrior. Not only was he, but there were other leaders who came in and they would pray. And it was stated in history that regardless of where George Washington was or who he was entertaining at the time, the man would go pray. Imagine not only the president praying, but those cabinet members, maybe they are cabinet makers too, but cabinet members actually gathering around him and praying with him and trusting God to lead and guide and direct him. Yes, yes, and yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we should all be praying for a president. Regardless of who is in the Oval Office, don't be part of the problem by tearing down your president. That's like tearing down your country. It is tearing down your country because he is the president. He sits in that seat. No, you don't agree with him. You don't like him. I know you don't, some of you, but that's okay. You don't have to like him to respect the office. Remove your mind from the man and put your mind on the office. That president of the United States of America represents a people in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And there's a language to that. That's a language that we should be speaking. Learning the language of heaven, we will know better than to put our tongue on Donald Trump, to put our tongue on our leaders, or to criticize our military, or to criticize our law enforcement officers. We would know to pray for them and to love them and to show some respect and appreciation for the work that they are doing. I've got to go take a prayer break, and I'll be back right after this message.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Now, there are many people who have had conversations and some have just walked away and put it away because they didn't understand why there were Christians who spoke in tongues. And what does that mean? And why are they speaking in tongues in public? That's embarrassing. And what are they saying? That is because many Christians have not understood that on the day of Pentecost, and you'll see that in the book of Acts in the Bible, Acts chapter 2. And again, I am speaking by chapter from my new book, Our Father's DNA. And when the day of Pentecost had come, the Bible says that they were all with one accord in one mind and one spirit, and they were filled, and there came a sound from heaven as of a great and rushing mighty wind. That mighty wind was Holy Spirit, like Jesus said in St. John chapter 3 that we talked about when he was talking to Nicodemus, that the Holy Spirit, he likened the Holy Spirit to the wind, the spirit to wind. You can't see it. You can feel him. You can experience him. It's just something that you cannot see. So there came a sound from heaven, as but you can't see the results of his presence. There came a sound from heaven as of a great and rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. It filled the room. They were in the upper room. And they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now listen closely. As the Spirit gave them utterance, as the Spirit gave them articulation, the ability to speak, they began to speak. And when they began to speak, there were 17 nations that heard them in their own native languages in the streets. They were in the streets of Jerusalem that day. And they could hear the sound coming from this upper room. And when they heard this sound, they said, oh, these people are intoxicated, inebriated. They said drunk. They were drunk. These men are, and as they began to hear this sound, they heard their own languages. If they were from Assyria, they heard their language. Wherever they were from, they heard their native tongue. So then we can say that the tongues that they were using in the upper room were known languages. They were known languages, not unknown languages, but known languages. It may have been unknown by those who were uttering those tongues, but it was known by those who heard those tongues. So why were they speaking in these unknown tongues to them? They were unknown tongues to them. They were speaking because God wanted to get a message to those nations that were walking by. God wanted to share that word with those people that were walking by on the street. So this is what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, that each of these nations heard them speak in their own language the wonderful works of God. Yes, yes, and yes. So what God did is allow the Holy Spirit to minister to those who were passing by allowing those 120, besides women and children, to speak in the language of the hearer so that they could hear of the glorious kingdom of God and their hearts could be turned toward the Lord. Now, Peter stood up in the midst of them and he said, listen, folks, these men are not drunk as you think. They're not drunk like that kind of drunk. They're not on that type of drunk, but they are filled. They are filled not with whiskey, not with alcohol. They are filled with the presence of God. How many of you have experienced being filled with God's presence to the overflow? That you were no longer married to the culture of the world around you, but you were in tune with the Father who made you. He says, why? You may ask, why did God allow that? Well, he wants everybody to know who he is. He wants everyone to know how much he loves them. He cared enough about those people to allow those 120 to begin to speak their languages so that their hearts could be turned toward God. The language we use every day to speak, and what I'm speaking right now, you understand the language. Now, to someone who doesn't understand English, unless it is translated, to them, I'm speaking a foreign tongue. I'm speaking strangely to them. You've traveled abroad and you go, you don't even have to travel abroad anymore. You can just go into certain neighborhoods in this country and you will hear languages that you're not familiar with. And you'll think, oh my God, I wish I knew what they were saying. You can go to the nail shop, go get your nails done. And suddenly the Koreans are speaking in their language. Or the Vietnamese are speaking in their language, and you wonder, are they talking about me? Are they talking about me? And you want to say, are you talking to me? Are you talking about me? But you feel like a foreigner, even though you're there for service, which I think is disrespectful. You know, you feel like a foreigner, and you feel disrespected because they're having conversations around you in an unknown tongue. In an unknown language, because it's unknown to you. So I wanted to give that as an example. As we talk about the language of heaven, I could not help but to talk about speaking in tongues and addressing this. And as you If you called me on the phone and I started speaking in another tongue, you would probably hang up on me. Or you would say, Dr. Faye, what are you saying? That sounds like gibberish. It sounds like baby talk. You'll be confused and disinterested, and you'll probably just hang up or walk away. If a pastor stood up, or a preacher or teacher or someone who's doing a talk, you get up and you start speaking in another tongue that's different from the language the audience is accustomed to, then they'll probably walk out. That will be the end of that gig. You won't be asked back for sure, and probably be pulled off the stage because you're not speaking in a language that they can understand. The language of heaven comes by way of revelation. It comes by revealed knowledge. It's not speaking in tongues that we're talking about. I just needed to preface this teaching and make a good and do a good job of it, which I did, right? Amen. So that you can understand that I am not talking about speaking words or speaking a language that people don't understand. I am speaking of a language that is clear, precise, on point, brings freedom, brings liberty, brings joy, brings peace, brings healing, brings deliverance. Amen. This is the language of heaven. Jesus spoke of this language he said that you would know the truth and the truth would make us free. You would know the truth. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. So in knowing truth, having intimacy with truth, having a relationship with truth, then truth is then being revealed through me as Christ in me, the hope of glory. So we understand the language of heaven by having a relationship with him, as I said early on. As we have this relationship with the Father and we begin to grow in grace, because now we are communicating with truth out of truth. You follow that? We are communicating with truth out of truth. When you receive the revelation of faith, your faith will be ignited by the Holy Spirit. You will begin to see Jesus in a different light, not in this light of the man that's still on the cross. I don't like those cross with Jesus still on them. I don't like them. You may have one around your neck right now. That's your business. God bless you. That's your thing. I don't like seeing a cross with Jesus on it. Why? Because he's not there. He's not there. He's not there on the cross. There's no tomb where you will find his body. No, no, no. He didn't stay dead. That's why I told you those old ancestors, they're still dead. Their bodies are still wherever their bodies were. But spirit, they're still alive. Jesus, they couldn't even find his body. His body is not there. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. Amen. He rose from the dead. Not revelation knowledge is not something that we debate. It's not something that we get into arguments over. Revelation knowledge comes through relationship with the Father. And you know, when you're confident in your relationship with your husband, your wife, or your friend, regardless of what they say, regardless of what they do, you still love them. The love doesn't change because you know that you love them, they love you, and that's good. That's just how it is. And they may be having a moment, but you still know that there is a love there that keeps on flowing, that keeps on growing, that keeps on giving. So you're not disturbed by it. When you have a relationship with the Father, whether God manifests something to you the way you want it or not, you'll still be confident that you can trust him, you can rely on him, you can depend upon him. You say, well, Dr. Faye, how can I depend upon him? He didn't come through for me like I thought he was going to come through. I know, been there a few times, done that. But I can tell you this, that he still loves you. When you have a relationship with him, you can rest in confidence that, yes, Jesus loves me. This I know. Not only does the Bible tell me so, but because I have that relationship. No bragging rights about it, but I developed it because of the fires I went through. And some people, I guess that maybe they just haven't been through enough fires yet. Life hasn't turned enough curves yet to forsake all to follow him. I don't know what it takes for some people. I really don't know. Just we've talked about this on the Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. What does it take for people to turn around, to make a difference, to make a change? Sadly, we see it repetitively that it happens when people are in a crisis. It happens when something tragic happens. Let's not let anything tragic happen, ladies and gentlemen, before we turn our hearts to God. Let's just turn right now. Why don't you? Shall we? Let's turn together. Turn back to him in repentance and in celebration of the blood of Jesus that has allowed us access to the Father God. We are gifted to speak the language of heaven. The language of heaven being the revelation knowledge, it unlocks Christ who is within us. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So if I find myself in a room where it's difficult to speak or it's difficult to have a conversation in my own self about a certain topic, Jesus said, when you come before them, whoever they may be, counsel, whoever they may be, don't think about or worry about your words or what you shall say, because in that hour, your heavenly Father will give you the words. God, how many of you know God will give you words to say? Maybe you need heaven's language to with your spouse, your employer or employee. You need a language. You need to know what to say and how to say it in a way that you won't wound another soul, but actually draw them closer. Can you correct people in love and compassion and cause a change rather than yelling and screaming and, you know, going all over the place? How do you speak the language of heaven? How can you speak the language of heaven when someone opposes you? Because you're coming from your place of truth and integrity. You're coming from a place of relationship with the Father, not from that place of culture, not from that place of political agendas or religion. You're coming from a place of relationship with God. That's how you learn to speak the language of heaven, because this is where the power is. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He wanted to pin them down and get them to see what they could see. You follow? Get them to see what they could see. So they began to reason among themselves, and they said in Matthew 16:13-18, it says that some say that you are Christ, some say that you're Elias, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elias, some say that you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus turned and looked at them, and I can imagine Jesus looking at them in the eye. Now, okay, look at me. Look at me. I hear what you say, they say, and who you say, they say, I am. But I want you to tell me now, based on your walk with me and my time with you so far, my time, the time we spent together, this quality time, who do you say that I am? And then Simon, the son of Barjona, who we know as Peter now, spoke up by what revelation of the Holy Spirit and said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed, fortunate to be envied. Boy, you got it going on, because flesh and blood, your culture, your religion did not give this to you. But what you have spoken out of your mouth could only come from God. And because of this, the revelation knowledge of who I am, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Upon the revelation knowledge, this relationship you must have with the Lord Jesus Christ, the gates of hell cannot prevail against that relationship. Nothing can tear down your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can cancel out his love that he shed abroad in our hearts through his Son Jesus Christ. And he continues to share that love. Nothing can ever separate us from that. Isn't that a shout and a hallelujah today, right here on Intentional? The revelation knowledge of who Jesus is the language of the Holy Spirit. Who do you say he is? And you know who he is because you spent time with him, fellowshipping with him, walking with him, speaking his words back to him. What did God say to you? The doctor gives you one report. God gives you another report that you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've listened to people who practice many different types of modalities and laying on of hands or meditations, and I listen. I'm not afraid to listen to people. I listen, and when I listen, I hear the sound. I hear the sound. I'm listening for the sound that tells me, oh, you tapped into God. You have to tap into God because you are tapping, but you tapped into God. You centered yourself. You got your mind off of what was ailing you, or what was ailing, I don't know where that word came from. You've got your mind off of the problem, and you put your mind upon the problem solver. You put your mind upon being healed rather than being sick. You put your mind upon being healthy rather than being weak and infirmed. You remove the words that the doctor said out of your mind, and you put the words that God said in your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what do? When you're laying on of hands, you're tapping, whatever it is, what modality you're using, you start implementing that. And what do you feel? You feel a shift. Who's shifting you? You think you're doing that? You think that revelation knowledge has come from some man? We wouldn't know how to comb our own hair we wouldn't know, except God gives it to us. We cannot do anything. Who gave you the power to lift your hand? Who gave you the power to even breathe? Who gave you the power to speak? Who gave you the power to see? You think you opened your own eyes this morning? No, you didn't. Good news flash. You did not open your eyes this morning. You did not move your body. That wasn't you. That was the hand of God at work. Why did he allow you to start another day? I don't know. There's a purpose. There's a reason for our breath. There's a reason for us being here today, listening to this teaching. The language of heaven, it brings deliverance. It brings healing. It brings such freedom. It'll cast out devils and demons. It'll heal broken hearts. It delivers the captives, and it heals the sick. When you speak, the words that we speak are spirit, and they are life. I said this before. We have what we think about and what we speak about. We are giving birth to our tomorrow today by the way we use our words and the way we use our thinking. The language of heaven desires that we come into agreement with God, that we begin to speak heavenly things. How is it in heaven? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I enjoyed teaching this, but I've got to go take another prayer break in a moment. But I will be back with more of this teaching on the language of heaven and how we can access it, and then how do we use it to improve our lives while here on earth. I'll be back in a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
How do we use this heavenly language? the words of God, which is heavenly language, the words of God to change worlds. I believe that. We can change worlds. We can change our world. Love begins at home and then spreads abroad. Amen. So as we began to use those words, we began to shift the world around us. We have to. We have to, ladies and gentlemen. No one else is going to do this for us. No one else can do this inner work for us but us. We have to own it. It is our responsibility. Jesus has paid the price on Golgotha's hill. He's hung his head on the locks of his shoulder and said, "It is finished." He's done. He's done. He finished the work for us, and he has given us access to heaven and access to heaven's language so that we too can finish our work here on earth. We must work the works of him that is sent, that has sent us while it is day, because when night comes, no man can work. We've got to fulfill destiny and fulfill purpose by living in the now and understanding heaven's language. Yes, yes, and yes. He says, "Surely, surely," that's my yes, yes, and yes. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born of water," which he told Nicodemus in St. John chapter 3, "except the man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again." Now, I've read this passage, and it's in the book several times, and because it's in the Bible, we need to understand what he really means. We must be born again in order to enter and in order to see the kingdom of heaven. We do not understand how to speak his language except we enter into that place with him. Jesus replied to Nicodemus. He said, "I'm telling you so earnestly, unless one is born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Men can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit will give us new life from heaven. The Bible says that we are ambassadors of heaven, which means we are sent here on a mission. We didn't begin in our mother's womb. God told Jeremiah, "Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you." I knew you. We had a relationship before you came through your mother's womb. And before you came forth, I ordained you to be a prophet. You had a destiny, a calling, and a purpose on your life while you were still in your mother's womb. Isn't that incredible? So he called him out. Now, let's look at this in the Living Bible. Jesus told him, first of all, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." Don't be surprised at this saying, because I am not telling you that you have to go back into your natural mother's womb and come out, but you will have to go through a womb, and this womb is the Holy Spirit. He said, "What I am telling you so earnestly in this, men can only produce human life." I've read that. Let me read it again. I want to read it again. "What I am telling you so earnestly is this, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Men can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven." New life from heaven. Back to, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold," look here, y'all, "everything has become new." In Matthew, we talked about the genealogy of Jesus, and we see down through the generations how it was male beget male. The lineage was male beget male. And then when it came to Joseph, it says, who was the husband of Mary. We knew that there was a shift. There was a change in the order of things in that moment. Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, the Messiah. There's a new begotten, a new genealogy when we're born of the anointed one. Of the birth of Jesus, he begins a new shift. There was a new ancestry lineage taking place, and we were included in it. Even for those who have not been born again yet, we're included in it. Because when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says in St. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you soever, me soever, we soever, they soever, believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have been removed from the bloodline of flesh into the holy bloodline of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Which bloodline do you really want to be a part of? The bloodline, now this is not a trick question, the bloodline of health, prosperity, peace, love, joy, happiness, confidence in Him, or the bloodline of worry, depression, fear, sickness, disease, poverty? Which one? Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Which bloodline do you want to associate with? Listen, I told you it's not a trick question. I choose the bloodline of God. I choose our Father's DNA because He loved us so much. He gave His own blood in the earth so that we could have access to all that He has. He identifies us through His blood. When He looks at His Son, Jesus, who is now seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us, always praying for us. My God, goodness, just to know Jesus is praying for me. You're not praying alone. You may think, oh, my prayers are not getting through because I don't know the language of heaven. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I know who does know the language of heaven better than any of us, and that is our elder brother, Jesus Christ. He knows and understands the language of heaven, and He knows how to pray for us. He knows how to intercede for us. 1 John said that He's an advocate between God and man. He's the mediator between God and man. We have an advocate with the Father, which means He's our mediator. He's the one who pleads our case. When we mess up, and God knows we do, yeah, last night, this morning, you know what you did. We mess up, don't we? Sometimes we just goof up. We just do things or say things that we regret. But in order not to live with that regret and that guilt and that shame and blame, we repent. So we hurriedly repent because we don't want to carry that baggage around with us for the rest of our lives, worried about what we did 20 years ago. Well, I gave my child away 20 years ago and I haven't forgiven myself. Forgive yourself. God has forgiven you. You ask for forgiveness from Him, then you forgive yourself. Remember our prayer? Yeah, our prayer, yeah, is Father, forgive me through me with the same forgiveness that you forgive me with. Father, forgive them through me, whoever the them is that you need to forgive, forgive them through me with the same forgiveness that you forgive me with. I remember the very day, and I remember the address. I remember where I was living when the Holy Spirit, in His language, gave me that prayer. I didn't know how to forgive these people. They were, well, ungodly. They were wicked. They were unkind and mean. They were. You notice I said they were. They were. And I did not know how to forgive these people. And it was weighing me down. It was just turning. You know that feeling that you have on the inside when, oh my God, something you're going through that's so horrific in your eyes. And I remember sitting at my desk and I heard the language of the Holy Spirit. I heard the voice of God coming from heaven. I heard, said, Dr. Faye, you're weird. You're hearing God. Yes, yes, yes. Thank God. Mm-hmm. And I heard the voice say, here's your prayer. Father, forgive them through me with the same forgiveness you forgive me with. Father, love them through me with the same love that you love me with. Because I couldn't. I was honest with God. You can be honest with the Father God. You can be honest. You can talk to God like you talk to your best friend. And I promise you, this best friend will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. I hold on to my Father for dear life. I know I can find confidence and shelter with Him. So as I told God, I can't forgive. I don't know. And I know that I'm a loving person. Father, you called me to take your love to the nations. And I'm a loving person. I just love, and I can't help it. Love just comes through me. But these people had hurt me so deeply, I did not know what to do with that pain. So when the Holy Spirit gave me the language of heaven for that situation, I began to pray that language. And that language was a forgiving prayer, a loving prayer. And the moment I prayed that prayer, I've never felt anything about those people since. Not one thing. Not one thing. Only heaven can do that. Only the language of heaven can do that. You may try to give something else the credit. I will always come back to the finished works of Jesus. I don't care if God's, if you, whatever you had to do, drink some holy water to be healed. I will say, well, if you drank the holy water and got healed, it was the language of heaven, the presence of God that brought that holy water to you and made that water holy, gave you faith enough to believe in the water, and you were healed. You cannot escape that. To God be the glory for all the good things that are done. I will not give Trump the credit. I will not give Congress the credit. I will not give anyone the credit. I give the glory to God. We sit here in this room, in this studio today, giving God the glory that we have access to worldwide networks to bring this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ every Sunday, because one man dared to listen to the voice of God, the language of heaven, and is led by the language of heaven to continue to move this movement forward right here on America Out Loud. Now, I don't know who you are or where you come from and whether you believe in any of this, but what I do know is that God loves you and he hasn't changed his mind about loving you. He's not that father who abandoned you, the one you call father, that you don't even, some of you don't even know who he is. He's not that person. He is your heavenly father, who loves you and wants you to experience his presence and his joy. He wants to invite you into another room with him, away from the crowd of negative thinking, the crowd of negative diagnoses, the crowd of pain and agony, the crowd of heartbreak and disappointment, the crowd of poverty and lack and divorce and widowhood. He wants to take you away from that crowded room into a holiness room where there's no one there but you and he. And he wants to speak to you out of that place so you will hear his voice from the inside out and know that you have just been engaged with heaven's language. Hear your father's voice. Hear him speak. And he wants to tell you just how much he really cares. And I promise you, if you will ask him to come in to your heart, he will do just that. If you will say, Father, forgive me, I'm a messed up dude, I'm a messed up girl, help me because I don't know what to do with this mess. I promise you, if you would throw it at his feet, just give it to him. Say, Dr. Faye, how do I give it to him? You know what? Just with your mouth. If that's all you can do, some of you may just have to fall on your knees, on your face, whatever you got to do. Some of you just need to sit down and be still for a moment. Get away from your desk for a moment. Go for a walk. And just cry out to God. And if you don't even know that he's real, just say, if you're real, I want you to come in to my heart. If you're real, if you're real, if you're a person that you're in such depression that suicidal thoughts are coming into your mind, cry out to God. Cry out to God and he will hear you, because I don't know who listens and I don't know how far reach we have in this moment, but I do know the spirit has no geographical boundary lines and time is not an issue. God can reach you right where you are and revolutionize your life. I feel the presence of God reaching out to you right now to change your world. He wants to change your world truly from the inside out. And I just bless you in the name of Jesus. And I want to hear from you that God is ministering to you and changing your life, changing your heart, and doing a work on the inside. And I want you to know, no matter who you are, where you come from, and regardless of what you've done and what Satan is beating you over the head with and telling you that you cannot make it. He's a liar and the father of lies. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You'll rise up like the phoenix from the ashes, Yes, I know it's a myth, but like the phoenix from the ashes, you will rise up and be okay again. Be better than okay, because you can't go back to where you were, but you will shine brighter than the brightest light around. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I pray for your health. I pray for your wealth. And I pray that you'll continue to listen as we continue this journey on our Father's DNA and today's message on the language of heaven. Join us again for 4 o'clock p.m. for the encore of Intentional. And don't forget, weekdays, 5 p.m., being my co-host for Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. God bless you. Take a look at AmericaOutloud.com. Look around the network. Find some shows to bookmark, your favorite shows. I know everything is not for everyone, but there's something there for you. And don't forget to join me on the Energy Bar every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. As a matter of fact, I am your 7-Eleven talk show host right here on America Out Loud. God bless you. Until next time, this is Dr. Faye. I encourage you to get your copy of Our Father's DNA today from Amazon, either the paperback or the Kindle edition. Continue to listen every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on Intentional as I teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and take his love to the nations.